True believer, this is your man, Stan. Your pal can't come to the phone because he's busy. He's actually ironing out his Spider-Man costume right now. Go ahead and leave a message after the Excelsior. Wait for it. Excelsior!
Hello, and welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the comic series The Red Mask from Mars, and as always, I'm joined by comic artist, writer, and creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
I'm going to promise to try and stay for the whole show.
Yay!
Promises.
Yeah, last week.
You started this fucking bingo. I know where you're going with this. You started that bingo.
Let's not pretend we haven't been talking for 30 minutes already.
Oh, dear God. Right. For those who... This may be your first show. We'll explain that in a bit. But you also heard our very own charity shop Conan just there. Mr. Tony Esmond.
Hey. And we'd like to announce this is our last show. Is that what we're saying? Is that what we agreed?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Should we make it out like it is our last show and then at the end just sort of say, oh, we're only joking?
Let's do that a lot, sort of emotional American thing where they just cry a lot at everything they go to. Just do that. Thank the Lord and the President, whatever it is they do, you know.
I have a little cry after every show we do.
Yeah, I regret it. I just regret what I've done.
What was that show I was watching the other day, like when you think a character's dead and everyone's getting emotional and like talking about it, and then next episode they come back. Like, oh, so all that time he was fucking moping about for 20 minutes in that last episode is pointless. So let's get a bit of that going on in this podcast.
Oh dear, there's no guest this week, it's just the three of us.
No.
But it's here. We finally made it to the triple figures.
That's can't believe
right. It's episode 100. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Just like all the best comics that mark the arrival of a significant number, this is going to be a jam-packed episode. I don't know what it's packed with. We have comics to talk about. We've got. You might hear a voicemail or two as the show goes on. We'll just drop them in whenever. We'd like to surprise you with the confusers.
Like an anniversary Marvel edition, we're going to be three times as long, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, there'll probably be 20 minutes where it's high quality, and the next like 60 minutes afterwards.
You'd be lucky.
We won't be adopting the Marvel. If it starts going shit, we'll reboot it to one and then try again.
And then the last half an hour will just be a repeat of something you've already heard like a few episodes ago.
Yeah. Get some George Tusker artwork in, just fill it in the background.
We're so bitter, and yet we love these comics. We genuinely
do.
We have a special announcement to make this week. A very special announcement. We're having a baby. No.
Jesus.
That wasn't even rehearsed.
There's someone needs to Photoshop some kind of Three Men and a Baby poster with us.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Who would be the baby?
Me. I'd be the baby. Oh, no, I'd probably have one of you, like in Zach Galifianakis, in that you could sort of just be on my chest on a little sling.
That's terrifying. But yes, no, it's not that kind of special announcement, but it is pretty special. And of course, we've got the usual nonsense to kick us off to start the next 100. Before we do all that, though, I just want to ask my fellow co-host, how does it feel now that we're in the triple digit club?
Oh, I don't know. It does feel a little bit like we're here, doesn't it? Because I've listened to podcasts for donkey's years. Some of them are like in 500s and all this sort of thing. Mm. And it's nice that we've reached there, I've got to say. And we haven't murdered each other. I'm quite proud of that fact. Yeah,
we haven't.
It's good that we're in separate rooms when we record.
Yeah, just get two separate sexy
rooms, but one bed.
Yeah.
Who said it to you, Tony? If you get over a certain number, you're doing well. And we went past that number a little while ago. So
I can't remember who said that. Someone did say that to me recently. Mm. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, I am. I'm a little bit proud of us for getting this far.
Yeah,
I'm really pleased at the little kind of community that's kind of popped up around the show.
Yeah, that's the most important bit, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. It's kind of all these talented creators and individuals, and it's just become a bit of a focal point to kind of get together. And the Facebook group's really working well. People posting up their stuff, and it's good. It's
a good place to go. Go on, mate. Sorry.
That's a good place to go to kind of ask questions, advice, and just get honest feedback about people getting a bit snarky, like you can get.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think the small press thing as well is there's lots of little scenes as well, aren't there? You know, you've got the sort of, I jokingly called it the gosh comic scene. You've got the sort of convention scene. You've got the 2000 AD scene. You know, you've got the sort of web comic scene. But I like to think that we cross it all over and join it up a little bit,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm quite pleased with that. I'm quite proud of us for that bit.
Yeah.
You know.
And I say the 2000 AD, that seems to be really kind of, the publishers don't seem to be kind of cracking on with that, because that convention was sold out quickly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to be kind of, well, I know Pat Mills is bringing a new book out, and I think people are just going to absolutely gobble that up.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Because people want more.
People are going to go crazy for that book, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. It is, I can't say, but they will do, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, you can't say anything or risk of death.
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa will kill me. Yeah.
There's no joke there.
No,
it's been a fun 99 episode so far. I say 99 because we haven't finished this one yet.
we just call it old now and just say that's 100. There you go,
yeah, 100.
Yeah,
you know, done.
Yeah, pretty much. No, this week is just going to be some good old fashioned comic talk. There's going to be some. It's just a free for all, you know.
Yeah.
We thought after getting this far, we just wanted to chat to each other, didn't we?
Yeah, we've got a bit of a big guest next week, haven't we? And a few plans, and it's just nice when it's the three of us, isn't it?
You know? It's lovely. It's lovely. But also, we've got the first. Actually, we've almost got two special announcements, haven't we? We've got an awesome comics pod based announcement that's going to be later.
Right? Yep.
But this week, we're very proud to announce that this episode of the Awesome Comics Pod is brought to you with help from the fine people of Comic House.
Look at us, hey. All sponsored and grown up.
Yes.
Look at us.
Yeah. Yes, folks, we've gone and got ourselves a sponsor to help keep the lights on for the next year. It was either that or sell a kidney or ourselves on the street.
It's been asked for months and it's made fuck all, I'll tell you now.
Well, at this point, it's a bit like throwing a sausage down an alley.
Oh, my God.
I think that's the Dan's taking it too far.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you. Stop doing the bingo. You're already ahead. He's three ahead, Vince.
Unbelievable. I forgot to print out my sheet. Anyway, jokes aside, we're very proud to have hooked up with them. And each week we'll be telling you about the latest fantastic indie releases. You can get through them. To kick off the partnership, it only seems fair to tell you to head on over to Kickstarter. Search for Comic House and check out the campaign for their awesome looking streaming comics app, which I've placed.
It's a good idea, isn't it?
It's a very good idea. Now, in order to be a sponsor on this show, we kind of want to believe in what we're talking about, especially.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we do. It's a comic subscription app that will not only allow comics fans all over the world to discover comics they never knew existed, which, as you all know, is a cause we're very passionate about here, but it will actively support the independent creators behind them. And that's what we're all about as well. Their elevator pitch basically says it's like Netflix, but for indie comics. So
it's a great idea.
Yeah, says it all. How can you not want something like that in your life?
Yeah, it's good doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I've always said, like, I got my quarterly sales report from Comixology. I saw a couple of creators sort of making similar jokes that it's like you got nothing from it, basically. Yeah. And the idea... Well, if you're kind of going on Comixology, it's a fantastic app, but you're kind of going up against the big boys who can kind of demand front page stuff and adverts, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how your readers would get to you. Basically, you'd have to like advertise to them direct and they go straight there for it. But like, obviously with Comixology, Comic House, it's going to be, the catalogue won't be as big, but it will be all indie creators. Well, I say there's actually a couple of big name things on there already.
Yeah,
but obviously you've got a much better chance of people kind of reading your stuff, and as a creator, I want my stuff to be read. The money's a secondary issue for me.
Yeah, exactly. Now, obviously, we appreciate all the Comixology buyers out there who have picked up our issues.
Definitely.
But we're not making bank from it.
No.
So it's just an avenue of getting your comics out there. But as for the Comic House app, it works basically like this. For a monthly subscription fee of just £3, you will get access to the entire library of comics on the Comic House app. £3. You can't bloody buy a book. You can't buy a comic for that price these days. Most of the time, even one monthly digital book from the big two is not much cheaper at all. Mm. I mean, literally, you know, I always want to pick up like some of the big two issues, like on Comixology, but sometimes they're just priced too high for a digital book. So Comic House will give you a digital library at your fingertips, and it's only going to grow and grow. You know, much like the, you know, more comics are going to be added to it. You're going to get loads for your buck, really. So it's a great, and also they're attempting to try some, trying to push the boundaries of independent comics, which is what we need. You know, it is, there are glass ceilings to this thing we love in terms of like visibility. You could do the Thought Bubbles, you could do the MCMs until you're blue in the face, but there comes a point when, how do you get your comics to an even bigger audience than that?
That's always the problem, isn't it? With all comics, is there's a shrinking audience because we're only advertising to people who will see the adverts because they're buying comics.
So so this app, the Comic House app, if it sounds like something that you think sounds cool, then the Kickstarter gives you all the information you need, as you can tell because I've been reading up on it. They lay it all out, what the app will be, what you'll get, and more. It's well worth your time. And if you love the indie scene like we do, it's well worth signing up for. So get in on the ground floor with Comic House and take advantage of some awesome subscription deals today.
Nice
bang. Help. Bang. We're legit. We're too legit to quit.
I'm really interested to see how that pans out.
Yeah.
Really interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw recently, I mean, Comic House, obviously, they're putting out that anthology that both me and Dan Butcher are appearing in or have appeared in. And I managed to get my hands on a copy of the first issue that the Mandy the Monster Hunter strip that I'm working on with the Hellbound Media guys. Nice. And it's just looking at the printed quality of the book, it's just top notch. It's just it's what, you know, indie comics need to be. They need, we constantly say you've got to look professional, you've got to put out the best you can. And this is, they're doing it, I think. So more power to them.
Yeah. It's got to be at that level nowadays.
Yeah.
Because people expect it.
Yeah. You need to be professional, but we're certainly not. So.
No, fuck that. We're the anti-professionals.
Hey, Tony, Dan, other one. It's Rob from Maddiest Comics, you know, the humble one. And I'm a friend of the show, and I just want to say, you know, I can't believe you guys have got to 100 episodes, because I'm sure someone somewhere would have cancelled it. But, you know, you've been saving lives and killing it like the good eggs that you are. I'm not sure how much I can say on this, so I'm going to have to leave you now. All right, but keep up the good work.
We were talking about the professionals earlier, weren't we?
Why were we talking about the professionals, Tony?
Well, I said I'd called my balls and my cock Bodie, Doyle and Cowley.
Yep.
No, it's a shame I'd bring the show down, but Roger Moore dying earlier in the week.
I know, I love Roger Moore. Really did.
One of the best Bonds was on today, though, on ITV, The Spy Who Loved Me. So good. It's like just all all the Bond cliches and tropes that in that film. It's so great.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the song Nobody Does It Better?
Yes.
Mm. That's a good Bond
song. When he jumps off the cliff in he's skiing down the cliff, jumps off, and you think, oh no, James Bond's going to die, and then he pulls the thing and the England parachute comes out.
Union Jack comes out. That's such Jack a great moment, isn't it? Yeah.
As he's delivering.
Have that, Yanks. Have that.
As he's delivering milk tray. Okay, now.
It's where I've got very specific memories of going into Hamley's on, is it Regent Street?
Yeah.
And looking for the white car that turns into a sub and like wanting to get that and buying like the matchbox version of it. And I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised, Dan?
Also, speaking of people who died, Rich Buckler died as well, which is a real shame, wasn't it?
Who did?
He was a great Rich Buckler. He was a creator of Deathlock, as well as, he drew pretty much everything. Great artist. I met him once at New York. He was a bit sort of spiky to me, actually, at his table. Just sort of stared at me. I don't think he understood what I was saying, to be fair. And then I bought a Punisher sketch off him. But yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, that is a shame.
Oh dear.
Freya shouldn't be allowed to die.
Yeah, exactly.
They shouldn't be allowed to die.
No. Because they'll put their brains in it. And that's just distasteful, isn't it? That's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a change. Stop that.
Yeah. It's how unlike us.
I do like the fact that Dan thought that mentioning Roger Moore brought the show down. I thought it was down as soon as Tony mentioned his balls.
What do you mean? That's an up point.
They haven't dropped yet, have they, Tony?
No, not that far.
Hey guys, it's me, Chris. So, I was wondering if you had the forwarding address for Tony, because I've got some fresh pictures of my trunks. And I wanted to make sure that Dan got that skin I sent for his birthday. 100 episodes, wow. I love you. Vince.
Anyway, right.
Moving on to the questions.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I'm going to start Matt and get some, try to get questions in. So hopefully we've got a few. Yeah.
Yes. Well, Tony, you are the question master. You are Magnus Magnusson, aren't you?
Okay. What I'll do is I'll intersperse some that I've written to ask you two gentlemen with some we've had in from listeners, shall I?
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Let's open with an easy one. Who is... You've got to name one guest.
Oh, God.
Who's your favourite? Who's your favourite guest?
That's not...
That is fair. That's a question. That's not... I've written that down. It's in my notebook.
Are you doing it as well, Tony?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael K. Russell, when he came on and did the colouring.
Oh, okay.
Fascinating. Yeah. Jason, J. Gunn.
Yeah. We said one, didn't you? Can you only get to say one?
otherwise, you'll name all of them, Dan.
Okay, well, I'll name two there. There's many others.
Vincent?
You're always breaking the rules, Dan. That's what I love about you. Now, I don't play favourites, not in my heart, but out of all the shows we've done, one of the highlights for me was talking to Jamie Smart, who was when we did a show about our influences, he was one of my influences, and we managed to get him on the show. So that was just and I'd never spoken to him before, apart from Twitter and social media, but that doesn't really count, does it? So yeah. it was great to finally talk to Jamie, and hopefully it won't be the last time. So
there you go. Pat Mills on the show, yeah, brilliant.
Stop naming everyone, Dan. You can't just name everyone. that's not the point of the question.
I know. I feel like I'm neglecting all these great people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we've had some fucking amazing guests, haven't we? Like, people have just blown our minds. Some of them we've got, oh my God, I can't believe we've even got them on.
Yeah.
You know, and some people who've just been, like, really interesting. I'm going to go with, it's a little bit left field, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but mainly for something she said, which made me laugh, is Laura Trinder, now Laura Wildgoose. I listened to it recently again, the interview, and it's just such a good interview we do with her. Not patting ourselves on the back, but and especially because at one point she just said, "Shush now, Vince," and that made me laugh an awful lot. And I got it put on a mug, which I keep meaning to give to you, Vince. I keep forgetting to bring it along.
I would cherish that mug. I really would. Yeah. No,
that's actually great. The Night Post. Yeah, love that book. God,
yeah, so good. Yeah, so good.
Hi guys, Susie here. Just wanted to say congratulations on your 100th episode. Absolutely love you guys. Love the podcast. You've introduced me to a whole new world of Dan's Dictionary Corner. And I love listening to you guys. You've made such a difference. Cheers, bye.
Okay, so moving on from that, a similar question that came from Alan Henderson, who hit 1,000 strips this week, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. That's a great achievement as well. Yeah. And I actually see so many appear from him.
Yeah.
I think these are old ones, or is he? But he's actually doing them every day, isn't he?
Yeah. And really? The Penguins, one of them appears on the jam piece, which we'll talk about a bit later.
Yes, doesn't it? Yeah. Mm. He asked, we've got four questions from him. The first one is, who would we still like to meet? I'm going to change that a bit and say, who would you like to have on the show? Oh. You can name someone you want to meet and someone you'd like on the show. Doesn't have to be one. You can choose a couple on this one.
I'll tell you. Dan, you can only have one. But I'll tell you who I'd like to meet. Our next guest.
Hey.
Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it? Got out of that.
We'll see you at the end of the show. Who else? Come on, you two.
God, there's so many.
I would like to go and meet Eric Larson.
Oh, yes, you would, wouldn't you?
Oh, you went big. You went big. Yeah. I didn't think you were going to... Oh, really? Yeah. Right, okay, gloves are off. Scott Snyder.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with the big guns. I'm going to go because he is not this dour character that people presume he is. He is actually, I've seen him give talks live 5 or 6 times now. And I think he would be probably one of those guests we'd get loads from. Same way we got loads from Pat. You know, these sort of comics professionals. It would be Alan Moore. I think
He's
actually quite amusing. Coupled with that, I would also, and it's probably because I saw them do an interview together, but I know that he's not a comics creator, but he's a comics fan, would be Stuart Lee. I'm a big fan of Stuart Lee, and
I love Stuart Lee.
Rather admire the fact that he's also a comics fan, and I think he would be, I think he would get our crap humour, and we'd get his sophisticated humour. I think to be fair,
I'd love to get him. I know he's a big Hulk fan.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a massive Hulk fan, and right. There's one stand-up he does where basically he says to the audience, "I'm a massive Hulk fan, and I'll take any question from the audience about Hulk."
Oh, cool.
And a couple of people asked, like, one asked a silly question, like, why is Hulk green? And he said, you know, there's a more complicated answer to this.
There is, isn't there, around the colour?
Yeah. And he said the answer. And it was like, yeah, nice one.
Very good. Yeah. I'd also like a little bit of John Byrne. I think I've only ever heard one interview with him, and he's cranky.
Right, yeah. Tony, right, you've done a Daniel Butcher there. You were only supposed to say one.
No, I said say more than one on this one.
Yeah. Oh, can you? Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah. Ignore me. I just don't listen to you.
You're not watching this. next one that came from Alan. What book or comic, I think he means, would you like to own? Is there one that you thought, oh, I'd really like that, but it's expensive, or you're not managed to get hold of it, or, you know?
There's one I've thought about recently, actually. Rather than collecting lots of, like, old back issues... or like, you know, having a whole collection of trades, there is singular specific issues that I'd like to own rather than having like a complete. And
me too.
It came about during it might have been on the Awesome Comics Talk group or something, I can't remember where it was, but talking about Alan Davis, and it's the X-Men issue where Wolverine first meets Sabretooth. I think we might have mentioned it on the show.
We talked about it, didn't we?
And
it was a cover in that covers book I had, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that just whole issue was so monumental for me because it was in a collection. It was an old, when you used to get those hardback Marvel annuals and they used to reprint some old comics in there, and that was the first time I saw it, and it was just one of the most astounding comics when I was a kid. And I've never had like the original. I'd like to have.
I think you probably get it. I don't think it's too bad.
No.
So it's one I'm going to keep my eye out for, like the back issue bins, I think. So
that's the sort of thing you want to buy if you're at an American convention, because it'll probably be half the price, I reckon.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go,
Daniel.
I'm going to be totally lame. Invincible One.
Don't you own that?
No, I started collecting in the 20s.
Right,
and you look at the prices now for one, and it's expensive, and the whole 1 to 10 is a fucking lot of money.
Yeah,
but I don't know why I'd want to own it, just for kind of saying I own the whole run. I'd imagine at some point
there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
At some point, I think I'd like to track it down and get it. That'd be great.
Okay, cool.
Yourself?
Silver Surfer One, the Buscema issue. It's kind of my grail issue. And I couldn't quite happily live with myself if I spent that amount of money on a comic. You know, I've got familial responsibilities, and I don't think I could. But I've got a big, a huge poster of it on a wall, and I've got a reprint of it. But just that single issue, I think it's one of the most gorgeous covers ever. Just love it. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Nice.
That's my one.
Hi, guys. Dave Kennedy here. Been a listener since day one. Congratulations on the 100th show. Just bit the stone.
Okay, so should we go back to another question?
Yeah.
If you could have sex with one of the guests, no, we'll leave that. I'll cross that one out.
Jamie Smart. No.
okay. This is another one from Alan. Things you'd like to achieve with your own work. What are you hoping to achieve with it?
It all depends on. It depends on the individual project, doesn't it? Don't you think, Dan?
Yeah. There's. I'd set certain goals for different projects. Mine would have to be to get to the end of
the story
of Vanguard. Get to the end of life. Yeah, but I've got like a set point at Vanguard I'm aiming for,
right.
And I'm gunning for it. And that if I can get that done, I don't know if I ever will, but that's what I'm aiming for. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously I'm only on issue 3 of the Red Mask at the moment. I've got another 2 issues to go, so it's when I finish those 5 issues that. At the moment, that's my major achievement. Do you know what I mean? That's the because it's achievable as well. So once I do that, it's the next achievement. But in terms of like the grander goals, I just want. I hope that my work can get out to even more people that have never seen it before, or like you know maybe some people that don't necessarily follow comics, or you know especially like some of the younger generation. Maybe they'll pick up my comic and get something. From it, you know, that's some of the best moments at conventions for me. Okay. So there you go.
10.
I thought a lot about this, and I thought, you know, oh, what do I want to do? Do I want to write for Marvel or DC or Dynamite or someone? And I think that is all something I would like to do. But and then I thought, what is the answer I'd like to say here? And I thought about saying, I just want people to read my stuff. But to be fair, I don't give a fuck about that. To be fair, I just want to keep making stuff, I suppose.
Yeah.
That satisfies myself. Which is a terribly selfish thing to say, but if I write something and I really like it, I'm at an age now where I think you as you grow older, you begin to worry less what people think about you, don't you? You know?
Definitely.
And the fact that I'm not really fussed what people think of this show. To be fair, we just do it because we like it, and you can't change what you do for any reason. I just want to keep making stuff. Really, I suppose I've been lucky enough recently to make stuff with some really awesome people, and just continue that. I suppose, you know.
I think once you kind of get that creative thing going and you're creating all the time, it's very difficult to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The brain's constantly ticking and you want to do stuff all the time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I try and write something every day. I think if you don't apply yourself, it doesn't necessarily putting pen to paper, or if you don't, you know, you have to come up with something almost every day. I think it's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just a phrase, you know. Whether it's 10,000 words or just a phrase that you're happy with or an idea that you're happy with, I think you've got to do something every day just to keep yourself motivated and satisfied.
I will say, being completely honest, I don't draw every day like I should. I really want to, but I don't get around to drawing it. But I do try and do something creative, like making notes on a project or typing up a bit of script or a bit of prose for an upcoming book or something. You know, just doing something because I don't know about you guys, but. My brain never stops coming up with stories. It never stops working on stories.
It's that motivation. You need to do it, don't you?
Yeah.
And everyone says, I haven't had time. I mean, I start work at 7 o'clock in the morning and I rarely finish work before 8, but so I get in early, I get in at 6 and I have an hour's writing. You know, it is possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible these days. You can write when you're sitting on the toilet on your mobile phone, can't you?
Yeah.
You know,
on the train.
You still be motivated, I think. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, if you can't find the time for some reason, don't fucking beat yourself up about it. Don't do yourself any disservice. You know, just as long as you're happy, that's all we care
kind
about.
Kind of comes to the thing of like you got to kind of manage your time and understand. Yeah, a bit nihilistic, but you've only got a certain amount of time to use. And if you want to sit at home every night of the week watching television, that's fine. You can do that.
Yeah,
you can spend other time creating stuff and doing stuff. Like do what kind of makes you feel happy. But if you're kind of burning yourself up thinking, oh fuck, I really want to do X, Y, and Z, you've got to look at your life where you kind of want to take a bit out to put somewhere else.
Yeah, I think you've got to, because this is our hobby and this is something we do to enjoy, then for me, like I'm working on a Western thing at the moment, so I'm really enjoying reading a load of Western stuff.
Yeah.
And is that work? It's never work, is it? Because we don't get paid for it. But is it, you know, is that, you know, am I making comics? I kind of am, I suppose. Well, you know, I've just read 3 novels, Western novels, and out of each one has come, I'm getting the mood of stuff. You know, not necessarily anything. It's weird, actually. I heard, of all people, I heard an interview with Dawn French this week. And she says when she writes, if she keeps writing, she finds that things happen that she doesn't expect. So she writes things down. And she thinks, I didn't even know that I knew that word. You know, I didn't even know how. And she reads it back and you think, actually, that's quite good. Where on earth did that come from? And I think the more you push into it, the more you get out of it, doesn't it? You know, the more inspiration comes from thinking about stuff and doing stuff, doesn't it?
It's definitely that kind of
listening to trance music, you know.
Reading is like flexing the muscles of the brain, as it were. Yeah. And you kind of you get stronger, and so you can come up with more stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the whole idea of kind of storytelling is one of those things. I think, okay, this is what it is, and then you realise there's so much more to it, and then you get into it a bit more, and then no matter how far I get into it, there's just absolute depths of it. And when I read books or see a film that's got an absolute mastery of it, it's just amazing. Like, you see characters arcing, kind of plot point stuff subtly kind of been inserted, and it's picked up later on. And yeah, it's amazing. Really good. It's one of those things, is that the thing, the John Carpenter one, how well that is written when 20, 30 years later, still people are still picking over it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's when you've done a fantastic job.
I genuinely think you've got to pick and choose stuff that is good for you.
Yeah.
I think you just can't let just the whole of bullshit modern society wash over you and watch fucking, I don't know, EastEnders or Hollyoaks After Dark or something. You know, you've got to pick stuff, and it is available to be picked these days. You can't sit there and just watch rubbish, because it's not helping. But stuff that, you know, is interesting. We talked about Stuart Lee recently, and I really find the way he approaches stuff to be, you know, an interesting and inspiring creative process. But, you know, if I watched, I don't know, Michael McIntyre, I'd probably want to pull my own eyeballs out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've started quite listening to a lot of Bill Burr. He does his own
podcast. I like him as well. Yeah,
yeah, he's good.
Yeah, yeah,
very interesting.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of like he goes down that middle line of, like, you know, sometimes comics kind of put a character on, but when he kind of does his podcast, it's very much him, and he acts like a kind of a new comic, and as in they're not all one side this and all one side that. They're very much down the middle, looking at both sides. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's probably why I listen to more interviews and I listen to music now, because I find they're more available to me now. You know, I used to be a big music fan, but I just find a lot of the lyrics quite trite, and I don't feel enough depth in what they're saying in a lot of creators, you know, musicians, which is why I like to hear them. It's like when you know, watching the making of a film, sometimes it's more interesting than the film, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, so I like to pick apart things sometimes. Yeah, okay.
Congratulations on making it to 100 episodes without being banned in several countries. Your podcast has made Mondays something to look forward to, so much so that even Garfield doesn't hate them anymore. Whether you've intended to or not, you've helped bring the UK small press scene together. People have discovered books, tips and techniques, as well as future collaborators, through your show. You run what is hands down the best Facebook discussion group out there for our kind, and you sparked meaningful debates, even if Tony's faced the odd lynch mob here and there. Keep up the outstanding work. I can't wait to see what the next 100 episodes bring.
Right, Alan's next question. Shows you would like to attend. Is there any ones that you would be your sort of highest point? You'd love to go there and attend somewhere.
Oh, easy, New York.
Yeah, I think you'd like that.
Yeah,
you'd really enjoy it.
I'd probably get arrested just walking around masturbating.
Pardon?
Not again.
So I can't believe I'm here. So excuse me, sir. But just, it'd be fantastic. Just the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just brilliant.
I really enjoy it. Yeah, Vincenzo.
Taking the other world out of the equation, just having the UK, shall we say? Probably somewhere like the lakes or something, just to experience.
I've done the lakes. It's always in that period which is quite busy at the end of the year, isn't it? The last quarter of the year.
Yeah,
and I think I'd like a Glasgow one as well.
Oh god,
some of the pictures of them. They're like, that's fantastic. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that sounds really good, actually. I mean, I've never been to an MCM, but I...
Oh, God.
I'm not... That's another discussion for another time.
I've posted up some photos of MCMs I've been to in the past, and I've... Usually after Ken Reynolds said, like, ended the day with a headache, there's not a day I've been at an MCM which I haven't ended up with having a headache.
Right.
It's fucking full-on.
Sort of visual overload, isn't it? Sort of
visual,
thing.
Audio, like... It's
smell, tactile overload.
You're there, and then like a like 50 foot away, there's a kind of games presentation, and then like 100 foot behind her, there's a stage where they're having like a competition
or something,
and there's all these people shouting and running around screaming and giving each other hugs, and it's bewildering. And there's so much good stuff, obviously, you kind of, your head's like flying around like you're having a fit looking at it all. It's it's a visual and sensory overload.
And Dan's just walking around masturbating, which seems to be what he does at shows.
I'd only do that in New York, to be fair.
Remember that when you come to our table at London Super Comic Con.
Yep. Don't mention America. Like a Pavlovian response from Dan.
I tell you what, I love Pavlova, don't you?
You do, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, trouble is, like, when we went to London Super Comic Con, like, there's Mike Zeck there. It's just like, I'm not really one for that kind of fanboyism, but it's like, oh, that's Mike Zeck. And
God bless you, Dan. That was a moment. Yeah. I loved that.
I had that with and Frank Cho as well, with both of us.
Yeah,
and
that was when I bottled it. I was like, ooh.
Jimmy just said, I'll just fuck off. I'm like, that's totally fine. It's kind of half expecting that.
Oh dear! What about you, though, Tony?
I've done New York, haven't I? Which you're right, to me is like, I don't really want to do San Diego. I just think it would be a bit too pop culture for me. I'm going to say. Plus, New York, you've also got the advantage of it being New York as well, haven't you? Essentially, which is a personality in itself, and you get to go around and go in diners and, you know, go to Times Square and Greenwich Village. So I quite like that. But and I've done Luca, which is kind of the only European one I've really done, I think. So I'd like to give Angoulême a try. Especially of recent on the pod, we've got quite Euro comic centric, haven't we? We've mentioned quite a few recently.
Yeah.
And I just like, I know I'm trying to sort of vaguely trying to learn French to read them. I'd quite like to try that, I think, actually. There's so much good stuff in France and Belgium.
Yeah.
You know, just amazing stuff. And I think I'd do Angoulême, actually. Yeah. I've got a plan to do C2E2 next year, so that's the plan. And maybe Emerald City at some point. But yes, Angoulême would be the pinnacle, I think, for me at the moment, anyway. You know?
Nice.
Cool.
Nice.
One more, gents?
Yeah, go for it.
Let's do one of mine. How do you think, during the 2 years that we've been on, things have changed? What do you think has happened in the comic scene that's changed?
That's a toughie. Why don't you go first, Tony?
I think there's a little bit of a tribe mentality coming out of comics at the moment. I think there's I think as the small press grows, it almost forms into little groups.
Yeah.
Which we talked about this a minute ago, didn't we? I'm not that much happy about. I think people are now becoming more confident, especially in the last few years, of a run of books. It used to be that very rarely would you see a book run more than a couple of issues. But I think people, what with print on demand and Kickstarter and stuff like that, I think people are feeling that they're more comfortable now with bringing out a series of comics in a series, whether it be an ongoing or it be a mini series. I think that's certainly much more common now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else there is. The sort of the convention scene has, even in the time we've been on, just become, there's too many now.
It's crazy.
I think some weekends you've got like 4 conventions a weekend.
Yeah.
Not all of them are quite right. Not all of them, although they call themselves comic cons, are something that we would probably want to or go to. But I think there's too many now.
I said I think that it will find its level eventually. But
yeah.
There are just loads. Someone posted up pictures and say, I'm at this con. So fucking hell, I've never even heard of that. Did he know it's on?
Yeah, I think so. What about you guys? You had a think about it? Or
the social media over the past couple of years, I don't know whether... because I notice it more, because since this show started, I'm more entrenched in the scene now than I ever was before.
Yeah.
So I'm more aware of social media and like some people's voices who are brilliant and other people's voices who aren't. You know, there have been some times I've been put off by people who seemingly love the sound of their own voice. This is coming from someone who's got a podcast.
So, dude, I think generally of the three of us, you're the one who is more willing to accept people, you know, I mean, behind the scenes, occasionally.
That's my pull quote from Tony Esmond. Quote.
But I think behind the scenes, I certainly do it, and I think Dan does a little bit where we go, oh, fuck's sake, I would think probably you're the least of us who does that.
Yeah.
So if you're saying that, then I would think it is a problem. Hmm. You know.
Sometimes we have a little WhatsApp messenger group, and I just have to fire it off to them. And I know sometimes I won't get a response, but I have to say it to someone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh yeah. We do sometimes. You know, we have the sort of
grump a little bit, don't we?
Yeah, the grumpy old men. We have the grumpy old men moments. We really do. And there are times where I think over the past 2 years, I've noticed some egos get a lot bigger. Certainly, yes. But that also ties into social media, because I don't know these people, but I've noticed this. You know, some people can have a. It's hard to say it because I'm not really naming anyone specific. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
if you think it's you, it's not. So we get ourselves out of that.
No.
Yeah.
If you know us, you know.
None of our regular listeners, put it that way.
Yeah. None of our regular listeners or the people that we hang out with and stuff. So it's not you. But certainly it's. And yes, this will be a bingo one. just in case you wonder what the bingo is, by the way, before I continue. Sam Webster, a friend and follower of the show, he brilliantly put together an awesome comics podcast bingo page. Where you can play along, you'll be able to find it on the Facebook group, etc. So each week you could play along and play bingo, depending on, because we must have sort of catchphrases and stuff. There must be some things that
friend of the show, Sam Webster.
Yeah,
Dan, you're like six ahead already.
I'm not even playing.
My wanking at New York can get me the Dan goes wherever the line square. Easy,
you got that twice.
Yeah, we'll post it on the Twitter as well this week. Big shout out for Sam for doing that, because it was hilarious. It genuinely made us all laugh.
Yeah, very on point.
To bring up one of those, there are moments we do sort of joke about how we're taking a break from social media, etc. And in this day and age, to do that when you're trying to promote your own books or when you're trying to get the word out, to take a step back from social media is almost cutting off your nose to spite your face. Because you do need to constantly shout about your work. You do need, you know, we may harp about, oh, I'm getting tired of this promotion, but in this world, you need to shout about it constantly. I understand that. But if it's not really about comics, this is me personally, if it's not really about comics, some of the shouting that goes on, I just don't want to hear it. That's what forces.
I think there's a few, let's just call them issue-driven posts that people make.
Yeah.
And a lot of eye-rolling that goes on, certainly in my head, about them. And I think, right, okay, moving on. You know, it's a bit like that, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, generally, what I could do without being on social media for it is the politics. And I'm a fine one to talk, because I sometimes make political posts. But it's not so much this general politics around comics, which just kind of I'm just so sick of this, so bored of it.
The faux rage, you know, people ragging on stuff when they've never read any of it, or it just gets really tiring really quickly. We say all this knowing that all of our listeners are the good ones. They are the good eggs. There's another bingo one.
Well done, good egg. That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. Overhill, no brow. What?
Hello, you three. It's John Light here from the Midlands. I just want to sincerely wish you all a wonderful 100th episode. You've been an inspiration to so many of us out here in the small press world. Have a great episode. Don't do any swears. I almost turn it off at that point and say to the kids, close your ears. Tony's going to talk about boobies or something inappropriate. Anyway, good luck, Vincent. Good luck, Daniel. Good luck, Anthony. And have a whole lovely, lovely 100th episode. See you later.
And I have to say, for me this year, over the last 2 years, rather, there's been some, I have to say, I mean, bear in mind I was in around the small press scene in the 90s, the fucking quality is absolutely brilliant at the moment. There's very few books there's been a couple recently, but there's very few books I go, ooh, you know.
You go what?
Naming no names, I do know someone who once showed their comic to a creator, and he literally went, "Oh my god, I can't look at that. That's horrible." You know, and I don't think there's very many of them about these days. You know,
yeah,
everything is real quality, and the printing and the actual artifact itself, you know, how it's being designed and displayed and that sort of thing is shot right up. You know, there's a lot of very serious. Good company, but there's a lot of people who are taking it very seriously, and a lot of them we've had on the show. Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, Leighton and Side Z and all these sort of guys, you know, they're really approaching it with a sensible, intelligent way.
Yeah, we've also seen people who were just starting out when we started the show, and now they're regulars at conventions. They're putting out loads of comics.
It's, yeah,
you know, that's
and probably... people we've had on the show, don't forget, who are now working for big companies.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, God, there's a couple of them.
Christian, God bless him, you know, I've got to say something horrible about him, but because he's probably listening, but look at him working for DC now.
Yeah,
incredible. Yeah, you know, and he's doing such good stuff.
You can look at the work in Porcelain and stuff, and just like, this is great, this is going somewhere.
Yeah, and Lambeau's working for Marvel, and you know, it's just, there's some people,
there's a couple of deals we can't talk about.
Yes, we know a couple of things behind closed doors, but there's some people who we're friends with, and seeing them. You know, there's that old quote, I can't remember who said it, you know, we're never happy when our friends do well, and I never believed that, and I'm over the moon when these people do well, you know, absolutely, that's a good thing as well. I think over the last 2 years, we've definitely seen some people, you know, what's it called in video gaming, leveling up, isn't it, is that right?
Nice, Tony.
Thank you.
This...
Okay, leading on from that, gentlemen, if you don't mind me, is what can we predict for the next 2 years?
That's hard. Again, a hard one. I would say...
Well, okay, put it this way. What would we like to see in the next 2 years? What would you two like to see more of?
Like the Comic House app.
Yeah.
Coming together and being more than individual parts.
Yeah.
I feel like we could do so much more if we kind of collaborated a lot more and kind of... Especially in this country, I feel like there's a real kind of void that could be filled. If we kind of, I don't know how we could do it, but kind of
collaboration. Now we're not talking about on necessarily singular projects, but in terms of coming together as groups to promote your work, etc. That always just
seems
like
to be the way forward.
Yeah, I mean, it can be very difficult to maintain, and you know, because everyone's different, and you know, there's creative differences, etc. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think. In order to get the word out more, people have to sort of work together a bit, maybe a bit more, will do over the next couple of years. We're going to see more names just crop up out of nowhere and absolutely blow us away.
That's what I want to see. That's what I really want to see, mate. I think I hope we're not a closed community, and I hope nobody sees us like that. But I think I want people to bring new voices in. I think I want that. You know, I really do.
Because I don't know about you, but I'm always on the lookout for something new. Comics are, you know, just say it's Spotify. You've got your albums that you're listening to. I'll click on the links because you like this. Try this. Do you know what I mean? I'm always trying to look for something else, something new. And that's, I mean, doing this show has just totally enhanced that. Because sometimes I have to, otherwise what the fuck am I going to talk about each week?
And it's like we talked about a minute ago. We're looking now to Europe. You and I... And Dan have started reading European books, and that's you know, I'm always on the search for something that you know, takes my fancy and is to my taste, I suppose.
And that's and that's not to say that the stuff that's in the UK, etc., isn't grabbing us at the moment. You know, we're just talking about what's got, you know, what hooked us that week, or you know, what completely stood out.
I mean, there's probably some creator out there who's kind of producing their book, going to kind of one con a year, if that. Not got it online, not have an online presence, and it could be the best comic in the world, but we don't know about it and we can't get at it.
Yeah,
there's only by chance we're going to stumble upon it, and I'm sure there's dozens of creators like that in the UK.
You've
only got to look at, I read comics every day, I listen to a comic podcast every day, and I read websites about comics every day, and there's I weekly discover someone I haven't seen before. You know, almost every week there's someone I'll see on Twitter or on Facebook, or just, you know, surfing through the net or looking on the shelves in a comic shop, and I go, oh, that's interesting, I've not seen that before.
Someone retweeted a French artist some of his like sequential work, and I was like, holy fuck. It was like immediately followed him on Twitter and started going through all these work. It's like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My recommend this week is a French artist, and it's so much in my wheelhouse, you won't believe it. Mm. Never heard of him before. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope certainly people are more inspired to step outside of their own comfort zone with comics.
Exactly, mate. That's weird you say that. That's exactly what I've written down.
Because that's what I've done since doing this.
Yeah.
Obviously, I like to try new things, but maybe they were, you know, things that I'd normally try. But since doing this, you know, we've had stuff sent in. We've recommended books that normally I wouldn't have necessarily picked up or read a webcomic of.
Yeah, definitely.
And it just...
Is there anything you can think of off the top of your heads, guys, that sort of hit you like that? Or
well, I mean, you know, my book of the year a couple of years ago, Girls Like You, was, you know, that was just a revelation to me. And there's certainly been webcomics that, you know, that some of my favourite webcomics, like The Lonely Vincent Bellingham, which is great, but which again. I didn't just search my name.
I come across like Rachel Smith and the Rabbit and Tilly Walden, and I hadn't come across those.
Yeah.
And when I was reading them, I was like, this is great. It's really good.
Yeah.
And it's not kind of stuff, say five years ago, I would have kind of saw that in the shop.
Yeah.
And I doubt I'd have even reached it. I would have just gone straight over it.
Because now it's brilliant. Know, when we say try a small press book, you know, you don't necessarily have to get the superhero, but you know, you don't have to get the big two because there's this in the small press. It's because we've experienced that ourselves. We've found the small press and the independent books that have been far better than anything we found from the big two that particular week.
Yeah,
you know, it's in that way, it's the voice of experience that we've got. You know, really.
And I'll tell you what I started doing, because you two guys would send me stuff that we were talking about in the following show and stuff like that.
Mm.
And I would think, oh, I'll put off that because I'm not really into anthropomorphical books, or, you know, I'm not really into horror books, whatever it is. And then I'll read it and I think, why did I put that off?
Yeah.
Why did I put that off? Like, the best example recently was Scurry.
Yeah.
I wouldn't dream of reading a book like that. If I saw it on a shelf, I probably wouldn't. But when you sent it to me and thought, oh, we're going to talk to this guy, seems like a nice guy. And I read it, and I read it on the train on the way I was travelling up north. And I just read it all in one go. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
There's no way I'd pick that up. You have got to step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, same as people do with TV, they do it with movies, and they do it with music. With comics, you need to do it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, completely.
The other thing around comfort zone that I was thinking about was I'd like to see creators step out of their comfort zone. For example, Tilly Walden, you mentioned a second ago, would do a great superhero book. I'd love to see that.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, some of the guys who are creating books, I'd love to see them just switch up style, switch up genre. You know, there's some people out there who do maybe sci-fi or superhero books and stuff like that, who, when I sit down and chat to them, they're incredibly interesting people.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see like something slightly more esoteric, or maybe an autobio comic from them. You know. See where it goes. It's like, stretch it out, you know. See what you bring, a bit of the inside outside, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, art wise, I always, if I take a different gig somewhere else apart from Vanguard, I use that as an opportunity to try something a little different,
yeah,
or in a different style, just to kind of,
yeah, you can see
it's an excuse.
Yeah,
yeah. Definitely. Go somewhere else, try it out.
We might be talking about that kind of experiment pretty soon.
Yeah,
yeah,
later in the show.
Yeah.
Nice little segue.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. One thing I would love to see over the next 2 years, and this is very specific, and I don't know if he listens to the show. I know we've mentioned him a couple of times. The artist Kelly Williams.
At
Treebeard on Twitter. Been a fan of his for years, followed his work from books like The Cabinet and Boo Hag, which we talked about on the show.
Yeah,
you got another one as well, Tony, recently.
I've got it in front of me, and the truth of that is that they were given to Lambo at C2E2, I think it was, in order to pass on to me, because he had heard our show.
Right.
Wow. I mean, that's like brilliant. Oh my god.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a proper nice guy.
Yeah,
a brilliant artist, inks, watercolors, and all these, you know, just ink washes and stuff. Amazing stuff. And that's an artist I've seen grow amazingly over the past 2 years.
Getting a lot of heat. I know 11 O'Clock Comics just did an interview with him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Not an audio one, they did a written one, I think, which looks really interesting.
In the next 2 years, I want to see him do Man Thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why. When you think about, oh, I'd love to see this artist draw this, you know, we've got those, you know, there's loads in our head, but that's the one I keep coming back to. I just think he'd just be amazing for a miniseries of Man Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not even a huge Man Thing fan, but you know when you know when giant the pairing. Size. Well, I love my Man Thing. it's giant size.
It's not, is it?
No, it's a mini. but I just love to see that. I think it goes together like peanut butter and what goes with peanut butter.
We don't do jelly in this country. Jam.
Yeah, I quite like that, peanut butter and jam. That's sort of give you a heart attack, mind you, but yes, right, isn't it?
Lovely. Yeah.
Stay peanut butter, folks. Toasted bread. Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Cup of tea.
And the other thing I'd like to see more of is more from you two. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. Mm. Yeah.
Cool. You and me both.
Sorry?
You and me both.
I know. Specifically, I know, Dan, you've talked about doing some covers. You've reached out to a few people to do some covers. Yeah. I think you do a fucking awesome cover.
Thank you. I've secured a bit of cover work.
Yeah?
I'll tell you about... Well, cool. I can tell you on the show, but... I've been pitching around some stuff, and I'm doing a book jacket for an author.
Oh, so, brilliant.
Nice.
Yeah. It's weird, I just literally joined Instagram a couple of days ago, and I put up some thumbnails for like the cover, and that's got more likes than virtually everything else combined, so I'm not quite sure how that works, but...
And Vince, Red Mask, the next issue?
That is going
to
be...
Can't wait to see that, I've been telling you about that.
I mean, the thing is, I've got at the moment, because I've got several sort of different projects on the go,
I think
next year... Everyone's going to be sick of me because lots of stuff is going to just come out. Whether it be like writing or, you know, once I'm done with the Comic House strip, which is a nice six-parter. So if you want to see my work, it's currently out there and will be out there for the next 6 months. So I'm not sitting on my hands doing nothing.
We know.
But I'm eager to get back to that Red Bastard. I will be working on a short. Soon, because I put a shout out online for what kind of alien people want to see him fighting. Because you know, I do the Red Mask versus little shorts sometimes. Well, I'm working on a new one of them for an anthology that's going to be out next year.
Cool.
Which I'm not sure if I can announce it yet, so I'll announce it at another time. So there is going to be more Red Mask coming.
Great.
And obviously, we want to see more of your comics come to fruition. Tony, as one is right at the moment.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about one in a minute, won't we? But I've had a few things out this year I'm quite pleased with.
Yeah.
A couple of things with Jen Brown. God bless her, love Jen. Totally brilliant and like the best person to work with. Nobody steal her, because I'm sure
she's in a workforce, isn't she?
Jen, she is. She really is. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a few things. One we're gonna announce, and I've got another two things I'm really pleased with. So so there we go. It's like fucking Watergate, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? You can't say stuff. Amazing,
yeah.
It's like, who do we work for? MI6 or something? It's like that, isn't it? Yeah.
For me, it's always kind of a bit about kind of the holding on to the integrity of the story and let it be told the way it wants to be and should be through the comic.
Yeah.
So you don't want to kind of spoil it too much.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's why it's kind of like a big thing on spoilers and stuff. The narrative is so kind of... precious, and I don't feel like people have got a right to take it away from someone else.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's the for me as well. It's the beauty of the single image as well. Sometimes just the art, just like I just love seeing it. You know, sort of stuff that I like. It's incredible. You know, but I know what you mean. There you go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message. I love you. Now back to our show.
But that's a nice little segue. I mean, we all want to see more from each other, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. And I don't know if you listeners out there want to see more from us. But, we have a bit of a special announcement.
We do, yeah.
We are planning to put out... What do I call it? How do I announce this? I think it's the best way to put it is we're going to be putting out an awesome comics anthology.
Yes.
Now... The basis of this is we always talk about comics each time. Now, we talk a good game, but now it's time to put our money where our mouth is.
Yeah.
So this is rather... not where your mouth's been.
it's been a few places.
Yeah, it's been around the world.
Now, when this idea came about, it wasn't to do like a huge 200-page anthology. It wasn't to do, you know, get a huge collection of different creators and stuff. This was literally, I wanted to see each one of us just put something together, you know, maybe take a shot at doing an idea that we've always wanted to do but never got around to doing. Like Dan said earlier, trying a different art style, or trying to, you know, pushing yourself a little bit differently. Because Dan's got Vanguard, which he's churning out all the time. Most people know me for like Red Mask, etc. But I wanted to try, you know, you always, even if you're neck deep on this kind of work, you want to do something different, don't you? You've got these other ideas. So what better way than to just try doing it, just get it out there. Now, with that in mind, this anthology is going to be quarterly, that's the plan, in the new year. There's going to be 4 issues, and each issue will contain an ongoing story from each one of us. Saying? So, there's a Dan Butcher story, there's a Tony Esmond story, and there's a story by me. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about those individual stories in a minute, but it is literally just to try something new, you know, tell a story in 4 different chapters and see what we can do. I mean, what do you think of this idea, guys?
Oh, I love it, mate. You know, I love it. The thing is, we've been talking about this for about a year and a half now, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've talked about it for a long time.
We keep saying we've got to do one. And finally, we've bitten the bullet at a point where, I mean, to be fair, we didn't really know each other when we started this, but we rely on each other for stuff now, don't we?
Yeah.
So we know that we're, you know, there's nobody going to flake out. It's definitely going to come out. We know it'll get funded because we've been supportive of people and they've been supportive of us. And we're happy that, you know, if we put this on Kickstarter, the print costs, which is the plan, the print costs will be met and it will be a book that will come out and be reliable and hopefully be of good quality. So I'm absolutely over the moon with it. I just think it's such a good idea that finally we've sort of decided to bite the bullet on.
We're planning it properly, we're getting everything down completely, you know, because we're talking about how we like things to be professional. God damn it, this book's gonna be as nice as it can possibly look.
And if it's not, we are going to get our faces kicked around the playground, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a spelling mistake in this book, I'm getting kicked up the arse non-stop.
But we've been working on it for a while, but we wanted a good lead up to it. It won't be released until next year. Comics take time. Obviously, everyone's got their own full-time jobs and they've got other projects that they're working on, etc. So maybe we're announcing it a bit early now, but I think we're at the point where we're going to start eking out little bits of our, you know, this is what we're working, you know, because we're too excited about a lot of these projects.
I know, I'm the worst of the lot. I have to say,
I will say that out of all three of us, the idea that is Tony Esmond's has been in Tony's brain. We've known about this for years, haven't we, Dan?
Yeah,
so well over a year now, isn't it? Yeah, I sent you the first couple of pieces of it about a year ago, didn't I?
Yeah. Whereas initially, like when we had the initial idea, it was like, let's come up with something, you know, brand new. So I've come up with something sort of brand new that I never thought of before. I only thought, if I'm going to be honest, probably a couple of months ago, I started to have the idea. Whereas yours, Tony, was it in the back of your mind? And now this is the perfect vehicle for it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just in my wheelhouse, I suppose, is the best description of it.
I think it's fair to say that this anthology won't be all ages.
No, I hope not.
But I think it will. I think the listeners of this show, and hopefully, and beyond, because we are going to, once we print it, when you see us at conventions, we're going to have this book. You know, we're going to have product. So we're attempting to walk the walk after talking all this talk. And I know when we've come up with the idea, it's been very interesting how all of the ideas are pretty much, they have a certain sort of setting, don't they?
They do, don't they?
Not a single one of them is modern day.
No.
Which is,
you're going to say pitch it in a minute. I know what you're going to say.
No, I'm not going to say. Although we're going to tell you the basic sort of pitch for each idea, just to get you a bit jazzed about it. And then we're going to talk about it amongst ourselves because we're just excited about it. So, who wants to go first with their story? This doesn't have to be a scripted out pitch, by the way.
No.
Because I want to stress to all of you listeners out there that this whole thing is a work in progress. This whole thing, like the beauty of the show, everything's ever evolving and being tweaked and tightened and, you know. So basically, don't blame us if it turns out in print completely different to what we're talking about now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Go on, you go first, Vince. Go on. You go first.
You've okay.
Got to give it to Gabriel. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Right. Oh, I don't know how to start this. Well, I wrote a little sort of synopsis, as it were. Now, my strip is set in the 80s. It's a proper B-movie kind of strip that I've got the title Murder Road is the name of it, which sounds very sort of a death plot thing at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the synopsis is this. This is going to sound so cheesy, but it kind of has to be. Some say that the old road leading out of the little town of Craven is haunted. They say a dark spirit roams the asphalt, hungry to exact terrible vengeance upon anyone who stumbles into its path. But those are just stories, right? Nothing has happened on that road for decades. When a group of high school friends decide to take part in an illegal street race on that stretch of road, they find out that there may be more to those urban legends than they thought. And on this night, if the speed doesn't kill them, something else just might.
Nice.
I should have done a proper trailer voice, shouldn't I?
You went into your 1980s trailer voice there at the end, didn't you?
Yeah, like something else just might. Yeah. All my poor man's Batman.
Yeah.
Yes, this is my idea was inspired by music, actually. When I was trying to think of ideas, I was listening to a soundtrack. I think it was a bit of electro. It was retro, new wave, electro synth. There's a lot of people I know. Old Gibson. Gibbo. He's a big Gibson. Fan of that sort of thing. Yeah, the Gibster.
You and James do swap music on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, via SoundCloud and what's on YouTube. So check this one out. And usually it's, I've already heard that one. Yeah. It's really good.
And, you know, from the soundtracks of, like, you know, John Carpenter's classic films to a lot of the stuff like Ogre Band and just Dance of the Dead, all of that kind of stuff. That has just been influencing my mind for this story. And I kind of wanted to do... I've talked about it enough times. I love the Carpenter films, those old VHS sort of horror movies.
I like Hey, Wait a Minute, Mr. Postman. I think it's my favourite Carpenter's song.
Yeah. Oh, you've ruined the spoiler, plot spoiler there, Tony. I'm really excited about this idea. I've also made a massive rod for my own back because this has a lot of cars in it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, mate, as well, if you don't get a car right, people will fucking hound you to death.
I know. The reference folders are beginning to heave. But at the
just
same time,
at night a lot.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing happens at night, so I'll see what I can get away with. Yes, this is a VHS B movie of the highest order. Saying that, it's not. You know how sometimes you read comics and when they go for that sort of vibe, they're all a bit hokey or you know, they don't really take it seriously. Does that make sense?
That's the trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is exactly. Yes, yeah. It's, allow me to say Baywatch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it stupid doesn't make it a good film.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Whereas this is straight down the line serious. There's Red Mask is known for one-liners and jokes and stuff. This is it's a serious sort of horror tale, this one. And I'm attempting to craft an iconic sort of slasher kind of character that's going to be in it. I kind of don't want to give too much away, but how much can I say?
Not too much at the moment, I think. But yeah.
I think
because then when we actually do like the kind of proper video, that's when it's going to be the thing.
I think
we're going to release official sort of bits of artwork just to announce the sort of ideas. In the coming days, in the coming week, I think we're each going to have something. And as soon as you see mine, which I've already shown, that I've sent a rough kind of picture to the guys, you'll know the kind of thing that it's going to be.
That single image you sent me, mate, that fucking, to me, gives me exactly what I need to know about it. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Good. It's the mood of it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to working on it. The script is coming along nicely. I'm working with my long-time collaborator, Daniel Mark Chant, one of the guys we used to make comics together when we were kids. and he's coming along to help me with the script, which is great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, basically tidy up the nonsense that is my dialogue.
Not in real life, obviously.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But I also, with this, I do have a little bit of a competition, as it were.
Oh.
Now, I've called it Murder Road, the title. That is the, whenever I write anything, it's got work in progress title on it.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% convinced on that title at the moment. It could well, I may end up just deciding that it works and go with it. But I'm open to suggestions on a new title for this. Bearing in mind that it is a serious sort of horror sort of story that is all based around this stretch of road, and you know, cars and lots of stuff happening on it. So if people like throw ideas at me for decent names, and if one of them's just sort of I have to use that, then I will use that if that's the way with you guys.
Yeah.
And we're gonna. I mean, I don't know about the other guys, but I'm gonna get lots of prints done of the Murder Road sort of poster that I'm working on at the moment. I'll probably launch them at Cardiff, actually. But you'll get a sort of a limited edition print of that, which I'll probably sign. And I will name a character in the story after you.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't do likenesses because I'm not that good with them, and a lot of the characters have already been designed. But their names are fairly template at the moment. You know, they're fairly rough. You know, nothing's locked down.
Yeah.
So,
will Grendel Ballbag be appearing in it?
He's the hero.
Oh, that's so good.
So, yeah, I'm open to suggestions about new titles for my strip that's going to go in this anthology. And, so I don't know what more. I feel like I want to say so much about it, but I can't on the show. I can talk to you guys about it afterwards.
Yeah, tell us. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to hold back. The thing is, I talk about it five times a day with the other person I'm doing mine with, and it's just, oh, no, we're so excited about it, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, when you start thinking about it and you start, you know, seeing stuff that influences you, or you listen to the music, you're just like, oh, my God, I want to work on this now. I want to do it. Yeah. I want to be doing it. So it's good.
Okay.
Cool. So there you go. Murder Road by Vincent Hunt is going to be in the Awesome Comics Anthology. Who's next?
Daniel, go on, you go.
You sure, please?
Yours of all the three of us, yours is the one that I'm still waiting to hear more about. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Okay. Mine's going to be very similar to Vince. I think we've got quite similar influences.
Right.
But mine's going to be not a parody, but a kind of a play on the kind of 1980s kind of TV supercar, super vehicle kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
But with a bit of a twist. This is going to be ultra violent, ultra kind of, but ultra serious. Obviously, it'd be ultra violent coming from me. Like we mentioned with Vince, the kind of the joke is that it takes itself absolutely deadly serious. If I feel like with this, if you start winking at the reader and kind of it doesn't work, it kind of falls flat. What should be good and enjoyable about it is like putting in an old Chuck Norris film and you're laughing at some of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
But when it was made, there were no, this is going to be funny in the same way as that. Provisionally, I've put it under the name of Project Viper. I wanted to get
I like that.
Yeah.
1980s thing. And the tagline at the moment is Los Angeles 1985, crime has a new enemy. And it's essentially the moment going to be similar to Escape from New York. The crime rate is absolutely just rocketing up through the roof.
Yeah.
So it's like an alternate 1985 sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like a Bronx Warriors type thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Like it's kind of this new drugs hit the streets, which is kind of essentially just pushing crime, everything straight through the roof. So
is it called Grendel Ballbag?
Yeah. A drug yet to be named. So the Federal Task Force kind of go into Los Angeles and set up this Project Viper, which essentially is this one dude and his supercar. And rather than have like a team of people, it's like, right, now you've got to go and sort all this shit out. And there's going to be a lot of fun doing it.
So it's kind of like Knight Rider / with Street Hawk meets The Dark Knight Returns.
So I've been watching so much Street Hawk. So much Street Hawk. It's going to be very, very macho, very over the top.
Yeah.
There might be people who might not like it for those reasons, but It's been done knowingly, like Pat Mills when he wrote Punisher 2099.
All of these strips will be unashamedly what they are. There's no pandering. This is just three people doing something.
Just gonna have a load of fun doing this.
Yeah.
And flex some muscles and just have a good time of it.
Are you designing a new car for it?
No, I'm going to make it like a kind of a typical 1980s kind of dream car, like a Lamborghini.
Mm.
I wanted to keep it very kind of period and not too funky. Do you know what I mean? I might kind of modernize it a little bit, but I've got like folder of fashion and haircuts and stuff like that.
Yeah. I've done that.
Bang on.
How do you explain and those images?
Yeah. The first scenes are shaping up to be a kind of a store robbery.
Mm.
And you get the hero intro.
Nice.
So, nice. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for this. Really,
it's going to be very kind of American and completely away from my comfort zone. So, yeah, it should be fun.
But at the same time, it's away from the comfort zone, but we're totally tapping into everything that we love. I know Tony's exactly the same. You know, it's strange.
This is stuff like, grown up with and loved. And
definitely.
I hate that set of use phrase, love letter, but it's kind of, this is all the stuff I used to love when I was a kid. I still love it. It kind of invokes memories and nostalgia in me. And I really kind of, it's like an itch you got to scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. It sounds awesome. Yeah. And speaking of itches, Tony, what's yours?
Thanks for the big build up. That's nice. Speaking of which, we just got a text from Vander saying, are you slapdicks recording your 100th now? Thanks, Bri. Thanks, Bri. Okay, back to mine. Red, she lives in 1970s. She's brought up in 1970s Mile End in London. She has a reputation for being one of the bad arses of bad arses in London. Gets into a lot of fights and eventually gets herself involved in something perhaps she shouldn't do, and it all goes wrong from there. Blood and death follows. Welcome to the world of Cockney Kung Fu. That's the spiel for it. That's the little opener. That would be what appears on the back of the book. I don't want to give too much away, but if you imagine Carolyn Munro with red hair kicking the shit out of people in Soho in the East End of London, then you'd probably be about right.
Sells itself.
Yeah. Done with the absolutely mighty Nick Prolix, who has become my brother creator in this, and we are swapping ideas 10 times a day. With the ideas we've got on this, he's just created, or he's in the process of creating, a Spotify playlist talking about music, Vince.
Mm.
We've got a Spotify playlist. We've got he's done those sort of paper. I can't spoil it. He's done something that will be very much in keeping with comics of the 70s as well. It's going to be very violent. There are characters who will turn it up in it who you might recognise from the 1970s. Without giving too much away, I think a certain Carry On actress might try and strangle somebody with her vagina. I think that might happen at some point in it.
Oh my god!
And there's a couple of 1970s homages to wrestlers who might turn up, and a lot of football fans get their faces kicked in one of the episodes.
Excellent.
It's done by Nick, as we all know. We're all big fans of Nick, and he's a proper dude.
Yeah.
I highly recommend going to nickprolix.bigcartel.com and buying Slang Pictorial, which is The Sheep and the Wolves, and some extra material, which is his webcomic put into a comic.
Yeah.
Just grand stuff. We threw this idea about a bit. I sent you guys the early scripts, I had a certain idea for the art. I mentioned on a previous show that I was sort of mucking about with something at the moment. I've got an idea, and Nick asked to see it and absolutely loved it. And to be fair, the ideas that are coming out of it as a collaboration, I'm really, really pleased with.
Yeah.
We've got some ideas coming up for stuff.
He's immediately become one of the inner circle.
Nick, he immediately has.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, spot on. Yeah. Watch for some images. I think probably as this goes live, you'll see an advertisement which he's done, which is kind of based on the one of the posters for the old Japanese movie Street Fighter. and Return of the Street Fighter. So have a watch out for that, but have a look on our Twitter and the Facebook group. Yeah, just absolutely loving the process, having an absolute ball. He'll say every day we'll send each other an idea. What about this? Or what do you think of this? Or what about this? Or, you know, yeah, brilliant stuff. Really enjoying it. And hopefully, it was slightly earlier, but then again, I am slightly older than you two. So, but we've, I like to think we've got a bit of retro cool going on this comic. So,
yeah,
I think it'll fit right in.
Yeah. To be fair, we kind of came up with, we knew about your idea, Tony, but we kind of just came back with ours, didn't we, Vince? It was like, I'm going to do it my period, this period. It was like, that's pretty much the same period.
They're both, mine's currently set in 1985.
Really?
Yeah.
I could change mine. I could put it to 1988. It's not a problem. But yeah.
No, you don't have to change anything. It's just, but they're all quite different sort of stories.
Yeah.
I think. And it works out. It's less Grindhouse. When you see these sort of stories lined up together, you immediately think, oh, it's like a Grindhouse comic. No. That isn't, you know, it's more like a sort of drive-in movie marathon, isn't it? This kind of thing. Three different flavours, all told with love and hopefully some decent artwork, which we already know Nick's pumping out some absolutely amazing artwork. Yep. So me and Dan have got our work cut out for us. So each issue will have a 10-page chapter. So by the end of it, you'll have a 40-page story of goodness.
Yeah.
In the year.
There you go.
And so we're plotting out each of the chapters, and just having a lot of fun talking about it. I think now that we've got it out in the open, I'll probably be talking about it a lot more. Just getting, you know, like certainly posting up like character sketches and all kinds of stuff.
We've got a few ideas for the odd little thing in it as well, haven't we? I don't think we ruin anything when we say we're thinking about having a letters page, which you suggested, and I went, fuck yes. That we're doing that.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Knowing what the listeners of this show are like, we're going to get the most insulting shit sent through an email.
Yes, one of the ideas we've got, because this comic is strictly just going to be three badass strips, three badass stories, and that, you know, there's all killer, no filler kind of stuff. So you're going to have these strips, and we might have a couple of pages left over. And we thought, we love the letters pages. Let's have them.
Yeah.
So we'll probably put a shout out closer to the time for your letters for the first issue.
Yeah.
And then based on what you read in the first issue, you can talk to us about the actual strips, etc. You know.
And from a sort of planning point of view, we're talking probably summer based Kickstarter. And then once that's done, we'll by the time we kickstarted, we will have all the art and story done, and then we'll be going straight into the printing process once it's funded. Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're looking to run a relatively sort of encumbered Kickstarter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Good phrase, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so, overcomplicate it. Although I will be offering free hugs.
Yeah. Obviously.
Don't offer free hugs. At least
you've got to pay for them.
Yeah.
I think that's technically prostitution, isn't it? I don't know. Is that we allowed to offer that?
Well, that's all right. Me and Dan aren't doing it. You're doing it. We'll sell you.
Yeah, thing where like you pay a pound and you get the eternal thanks. Can we have like a real higher tier? It's like 10 grand. You have our eternal thanks.
Yeah, 10 grand and I'll be your friend.
Don't get nothing apart from the priceless friendship.
There won't be a thanks pledge. It'll just be a fuck you pledge.
Hello, Mr. Butcher. It's Crispin, your Ocado driver here. I'm at your door and I can't seem to get an answer. I'm trying to deliver your order of avocado and hummus. I wonder if you could come and collect. Thanks.
Vander's just sent through a question as well. I've got to tell you, Bri, we're going to need to have a think about this one. But he does actually say, can you let us know, Vince blows, you're a cross-dresser and Dan is a cyborg. That's quite good.
Yeah.
But he's asked us to cast something out with actors, so I think we might have a little think on that, Bri. And I'll let you guys know what it is in a bit. It's quite a long one, so we'll have a little think about that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love a good casting sesh.
Yeah. So Tom Hardy is Venom. Didn't see that coming.
Oh, yeah.
Desperation stakes. Yeah, what?
You're not a fan of that casting, are you?
No, I'm not. I just find it a bit banal, a bit boring, a bit obvious. You know, let's go somewhere else with this. Let's do this. Try something exciting.
I don't want a Venom. You know, it'll probably look amazing, but right now, as I speak, I don't want a Venom film.
No, I'm not really too bothered.
I like
about
the
that.
Idea of the recent Venom, the one that's been in Guardians of the Galaxy, where he's a sort of soldier who's given the costume and goes into space. But they'll go with the obvious Spider-Man creature takes over a body type thing, won't they? You know?
Yeah.
Oh well. Anyway.
Say la vie.
Yeah.
What Spider-Man story could you do? Say like, okay, the Spider-Man Homecoming's killed it. But right, what Spider-Man story are we going to do after that in the film?
I tell you what, I wouldn't do. I'd keep Green Goblin far away from that series for now. We don't need one of them. I think Doc Ock was done so well.
Do you know what I really liked? That was amazing. That fight scene up the building with Doc Ock was incredible, wasn't it? And on the tube, just brilliant stuff. Yeah,
two was one of my standout.
Comic book movies,
He's such a great villain, so sort of almost understandable, wasn't he? You know, you got that off him. Yeah,
I was still disheartened when I saw one of the trailers for Homecoming, and it's got him doing something very similar to what they do in Spider-Man 2 when he's on the train, shooting out the webs. And I was kind of, why are you calling back to that? I don't.
Plus, all those trailers are giving away far too much of the story.
Yeah, I've stopped watching trailers now. I was speaking to the Burbs yesterday, and he was saying the same. Yeah. Don't like trailers. Yeah. I agree with him on that.
But even worse than the trailer... Well, I mean, I think the trailer's quite good, but the biggest crime of all is that latest Photoshop job on the poster.
Have you seen all the piss takes, right?
Yes.
Oh, God bless fandom, eh?
I think if you've got half a brain, you can accurately plot that new Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
If you look at the formula and then you look at what they put out there, and it's just like, oh man, why are you giving away everything? I don't understand it.
Yeah, some of the villain casting, that is like the most on the nose obvious casting for the villain. Apart from the secondary villain, who is me.
How great would Civil War been if you'd have turned up and Spider-Man popped up?
Oh mate, we've said this before. I'd have lost my shit during that film. I loved it as it was, but oh my god. Yeah.
Because I feel like this Homecoming should have come before Civil War, so like there's a bit of a background to kind of Tony getting Spider-Man along, because I always, when you're watching Civil War and like Tony turns up and basically, I'm going to blackmail this kid to come and help me fight a foreign country,
it sort of fitted in, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of okay, fair enough. Didn't quite work with me, but
by the end of that Spider-Man film, I don't want him to rely on Tony Stark in any way, shape or form.
I would hope that arcs like that he sort of, I presume Tony Stark's going to say, don't be this crime fighter superhero. Mm. And then he does. And
Then they dance. I want that dance out of, is it Spider-Man 3 where he's like a badass?
Tony, why are you trying to hurt my heart? Why? Why are you doing this?
God, we've got loads more questions. Let's go back to some more questions.
Right, okay, go.
Right, okay. Simon Russell asked on the Facebook page, do we reread stuff? He's wondering, he says, currently, that when he was a kid and when I was a kid, certainly we read a comic until it fell apart, didn't we? Mm-hmm. But now there's so much material out there. Do we have time to go back and reread stuff? And I was wondering, if you do, what do you reread?
I reread everything.
Yeah.
Everything?
Yeah, loads of times. Oh, good man. Someone bought me a Marvel FX collection. I've read that once. I'm not interested in reading that again, but... Like, occasionally I kind of just will go to bed and walk into the spare room, look at the bookshelves, oh yeah, fancy reading that tonight, and then I pick off, grab a novel and then read that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Usually to the point where, like, the graphic novels are piled up next to my bed, it's as big as as tall as the bed, and then I have to kind of clear it away.
Yeah. Oh, God. In terms of rereading, I think, it all depends on the book, really. I know certainly the biggest example of it is if I get something in individual issues and then I buy the trade, I immediately read the trade.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I do that. Easy marks, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. But saying that, the book has to deserve me double dipping. Do you know what I mean? But there is so much to read these days, it's hard to know. Yeah.
Hard to keep up with the stuff that we're buying, isn't it, almost, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm definitely moving towards just trades now. I feel really bad for kind of letting down the single issue market, but I want the whole thing, and I pick it up and there's the whole story.
Yeah,
that's the only thing, having the whole story in one go is That's the only reason. I mean, yeah, no other reason apart from that. Obviously, okay. Fucking cigarette shoes at the moment are quite pricey.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Yeah, what about you, though, T? What do you...
I occasionally go and think I have a little project, almost, where I think I'll reread stuff. A couple of years I did it with Cerebus. I did it with Scalped a couple of years ago as well. And then just something like, oh, fancy reading, like 52, for example. Do you remember the mini-series or the maxi-series?
Yeah.
I read that again.
I
thought, that's really good. That's really well done. And then it tends to be mostly, for me, Bronze Age stuff that I'll reread at the moment. I'll go through, because I've got like a lot of Essentials and a lot of hardbacks and stuff like that, and I'll go back and read that. Not as much as I used to, certainly. But sometimes I'll just get like a real need to read stuff, like I reread Mike Grell's Warlord, and I reread a load of Legion. Occasionally I just get a taste for it, don't you? You know, and you think, oh, I'll give that a go again. I really like that. You go back and, you know. Yeah, occasionally. I do, not as much as I like, put it that way.
Yeah.
I've reread Planet Hulk so many times.
Yeah.
I think that's such a great standalone story.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Greg Pak's been that good since. Standing right, I'd love to see him given another Marvel book like that and be allowed to do that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, I feel like kind of some creators should just rotate the characters they're working on. So like, right, I've got a really great idea to do with this character, and then you might not have much more to do with them. And then, but if you moved on to another one, could we all kind of shake up the status quo?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, be allowed to tell unconnected stories in a lot of Marvel and DC books would make me a very happy person. I
used to love the Elseworld stuff, like just what happens if this character did that, and I thought, oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah, and the what ifs and stuff. Yeah,
okay, nice. Cool. Do we have any more questions?
We've got a few more. David White has got a question. How many peach stones, not including your own, have you sighted in the first 100 episodes? Well, I've got to tell you, Dave, I know we had a conversation about MCM yesterday, and you mentioned the word walnuts. I'm not going to say in what context, but you boys know.
Yeah.
But the
whole bag.
Yeah, a big old bag as well. In the first, just simply by my visit at MCM yesterday, I've got to tell you, I saw quite a few. Yeah, quite a few.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
At one point, there was a man next to me in sort of ladies' underwear in a sort of manga style, twerking. And I tried to get away from it and sit on some steps while I was waiting for the Reckless Hero boys. And he started doing it right next to me and made me feel a bit sick.
He wasn't going to MCM.
The old
I don't know where he come from, yeah.
Steps outside MCM is like fucking seen out of Caligula at times, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I was walking through there about 10 o'clock at night, and it was like that. There was a lot of activity, let's call it that, going on outside.
Yeah.
I was in the with the Reckless Boys in the Chinese, using a spoon, Vince, you'll be pleased to know.
Splendid. Gangster.
And there was a group of guys who were obviously like, maybe they'd been there to set the rigging up or something like that, you know. Yeah. Clearly not comic fans, all wearing the same sort of blue t-shirts with sort of logo on, so I think they were from some kind of business stand type people. Mm-hmm. But all like geezers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In their 30s to sort of 50s, all sitting around this big table. Next to them was a woman dressed as Wonder Woman, not wearing much, and a bloke covered in blue paint who was I think had been Nightcrawler before he put his t-shirt on. And they were just like making out at the table next to them. And it was like, these blokes were like cheering them on. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And every so often, they stop and just like giggle and then get back into it. And they go, "Wee!" like this and like that. All the way through the meal, we were pissing ourselves. And then some bloke turned up dressed as Monkey from the TV series Monkey with his staff and everything. And he got like a standing ovation from these blokes.
Fucking hell.
It's like another world. And they're like, what the fuck is this we have walked into? You know, which I make them right on, to be fair.
Yeah. It is a bit of an eye opener when you first go.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
The only thing when I've been to MCM, like 2/3 of the people have no idea what you're dressed as.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's usually some obscure manga or anime series.
I was wearing my usual, you know, tartan shirt, blue jeans, and walked up to me, who sat next to us in the pub, quite a funny sort of couple they were, and she went, Who have you dressed as? And I went, well, not really anyone. I don't really dress up. And she went, we found one. She's like, and then I think Chris Imber told them that he was civilian Batman. She liked that. She liked this. So that was good.
Hi Hi there, this is a message for Mr. Tony Esmond. It's a cosplay Vizaraz calling you. You've placed an order, Mr. Esmond, for the Gold Lamy Vampirella cosplay outfit, and you've ordered that in extra small. Now, I just wanted to check with you that that was correct. If you could call back, that would be great. Thank you.
Yes, go on, throw another question at us.
I think I might have gone through the ones. Did you guys know any Dan?
I know Dan Charnley did say one thing that he wanted to ask us in terms of making it to episode 100. He said, the only thing I can think of to ask is how. How did it happen? how did it happen? I think we just kept doing it, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think then it became more of a habit.
It's like a rolling car crash that never stopped. Yeah. Just keeps hitting more cars and going down more cliffs.
Yeah. But I would say, not that we're experts in making podcasts in any way, shape or form, even though some people ask us for advice, which is always surreal but nice. It's trying to put on a weekly podcast. I think it helps when people know it's going to be out weekly, what day it's going to be out. Just always trying to keep the quality up there and getting different guests as well. We're always willing to have returning guests, and we love the people that come back to the show, but we're always striving to find new people.
Yeah, somebody's going to be informative as well.
Yeah,
definitely
keeping it interesting.
Yeah, I found another one from Daryl Thorpe.
Oh, God, go on.
He's actually done Q, semicolon. Tony's hair looks thick and well-groomed every time I see him. What type of brush is his weapon of choice? Also, does he count his strokes? As we all know, anyone who's a regular listener to the show knows that I have very few strokes.
Yeah. Just
very good at it. Doesn't take long.
Really,
we didn't mention you're turning up in the new Spider-Man film, did we, Tony? He's been cast as the Tinkerer.
Yes. Rather proud of that. And the type of brush I use is a hedgehog. Wurzel Gummidge used a hedgehog, didn't he, to brush his hair? I thought that was quite nice.
So do I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
But
yes, what is your brush, Tony? Brush of choice? Is it whalebone?
Wash your mouth out.
I was trying to think of that. Have you ever seen Blades of Glory?
Yes. Maxim Man of the Year.
Yes. There's a hairbrush in that I can imagine that you have, Tony.
What's it? What's the geezer's name in that? His character? Michael Michaels or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, Chad Michael Michaels, yeah.
That's just class in that.
Because you asked Tilly Walden if she knew who Chad Michael Michaels was.
And she knew it, didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah,
very impressed with it.
Yeah, she still rolled her eyes at you.
Doffing the cap there. Knowing that.
She secretly hates me. They all do.
thank you very much for all the questions and the voicemails and everything today. Well, this past week, folks. It's been really nice, actually.
Yeah.
Got a lovely review of Sam. Sam Webster.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
We made up for his bingo form that he sent.
What's so great about that bingo form? It was so insightful.
It was like, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was killing it on that.
Yes, we appreciate all of the support. It's great. How are you doing on the bingo card, Dan?
Oh, I've kind of relaxed on it. I think we've put a foot down in the last bit.
Speaking of which, do we have any shout outs?
Have you guys got any? I've got a couple. Obviously, I went for the Chinese yesterday with Chris Imber, Chris Jenkins, and Matt King, the Reckless Boys, and also had a few beers with Ken and Claire Reynolds.
Lovely.
It's quite nice. Although Ken did make me laugh because he was standing next to his wife, who was in cosplay, saying about he only saw one really good cosplayer, and I started giggling and then sort of sideways pointing at his wife, and he went, "Well, apart from my wife, yes."
Yeah.
You took it well.
Nice. So, shall we have some recommendations?
The book mentioned, haven't we?
Is it the book club?
The book club.
Oh, yes.
You want to do that now, do you?
Oh, no, we can do it later if you want to. Yeah, yeah. You do it after the... I suppose after the recommends if you want.
Yeah. We can also do it now with the shout-outs. You know. Okay. Right. There's talk of like starting up the book club in the awesome comic chat on Facebook. Is that correct? Yeah. By Tom Curry?
Am I correct? Yes, that's right.
And he was suggesting that each week we kind of pick a book, we read it, and we start up
a thread. Is it one a month? Is that what they're going to do? One a month.
Okay. Mm. Or what okay. timeline they're going to do. Mm. And then everyone can get the comic, read it, and discuss it, which is an absolutely fantastic idea.
Yeah.
But we was thinking, rather than the us kind of push it along, we kind of the community kind of do it more organically. And
you lovely listeners kind of had this brilliant idea. If you want to know more about it, you can go to the Awesome Comics Talk on Facebook, that group, which everyone seems to like, the people that take part. And they're going to put together a nice book club, and I think they're going to pick at least one book a month, I think, from all the recommendations and talk about it, I believe.
That's good, isn't it?
Good bunch of people. They know what they're doing. So, and I'm looking forward to reading it all, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
Knowing our listeners, it'll be more than one a month, won't it? I'm sure they'll.
The stuff where Tony's read and he's come up with observations. There was always that one, that werewolf book, and I did not get the thing about.
Oh, the HIV thing.
HIV thing. And then.
Okay.
That was very insightful. And when you said it and the author in question verified it, I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, I didn't even. Get that? Didn't flag
different
up at all.
People spot different things, don't they? I suppose you know. I'm looking to hear, really looking forward to hear what they think of the books we talk about, to see what angles they've got on them. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And hopefully they enjoy.
They'll all be wrong. Yeah. We're the only right ones.
Oh yeah, yeah. We alone are best.
No egos.
yeah. No, but we are the best, and as such, we're gonna recommend some more amazing books. It's gone off. It's gone off the rails.
We are the best. I like the way you keep saying it.
That's we're the giggling fit square.
We're the best.
Right. Oh, my face has gone red. Let's
not the first time. You're not halfway through that stroke, are you?
Just the one. Like a cannon on board a ship, my friend.
Oh dear.
Hello, Vincent. I don't suppose you know who this is. Let me give you a clue. I've scratched my way across all of your furniture. I've raided your refrigerator, and I've eaten all of the smoked salmon. And I've sprayed to mark my territory all around your front door. Yes, your reign of terrible subjugation has come to an end. This is your cat, and I've taken over your entire empire. Oh. And don't try and get in this evening. I've changed the locks. Goodbye, Vincent.
Recommendations. I'm going to go last this week.
Dan, you go first, because I'm trying to call mine up on Comixology.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about this last week, but obviously I wasn't here, so I couldn't do that. I went out and bought Secret Empire issue 0 and issue 1.
Okay.
And I would just say, just forget all that shit that everyone's talking about this online and trying to politicize the fucking comic book. This is really great stuff. It's really good.
Yeah.
I feel like this should be stuff that should be either sold or given away to people that are coming out of cinemas watching the Marvel films and saying, like, you like that, you'll like this.
Mm. Yeah.
It's really well done. I don't know how many the listeners know so much about what's going on in the Marvel universe, and my kind of grasp on it is tenuous, but essentially Captain America's memories and his core beliefs have been rewritten by a cosmic cube. So he thinks he is a Hydra agent, and he has been since day zero. And essentially in Secret Empire, he's become the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he's maneuvered all the heroes and superheroes into various spots, and he kind of enacts his plan. And from then on, he's the kind of de facto world leader, and under him he's got like the Red Skull, Armin Zola, and kind of all the bad guys of Hydra, and he's running the show. And now like Earth's being run like I don't want to use the N-word, but kind of like authoritarian. He's
very good.
The leader. And what's some of the interesting things that comes up in the script is that Cap is essentially he's got a good moral center, and you see through the story he's trying to justify what he's doing and not taking violent approaches. And there's other people in his sort of cabinet of advisors who keep on wanting to go into kind of like violent, more violent route and kill people to get people in line. And there's so much that the comic speaks about. And what comics and fiction does good is picking out a situation that might be going on in the world, has done or might do, hypothetical situation, pulling it open and exploring it. And a lot of people seem to be uncomfortable with that idea on generally on social media. And it's like, this is the place to kind of explore these ideas and find out what's wrong with them. Like, a lot of people hold opinions, and only when you talk to other people and talk through your opinion, you kind of get the real kind of sounding board of what is this, what I'm thinking is right or wrong. And it's kind of ultimately opinions are formed like that by kind of discussion. And having material like this is what that's about. Kind of exploring this idea of what would it like to be live under this state. And to call people names and stuff because they're presenting these ideas and presenting Captain America as a bad guy, it's happened before, it happened again. Every TV series, every comic book or film you read, there's situations where the hero or heroine is in the dire straits.
And turns bad for a portion of time. We only just talked about Spider-Man 3, didn't we?
Yeah.
Happens in that. You know.
If you're unaccustomed to the idea of your lead character being in jeopardy, you must have not seen any media, literature, or anything in the entirety of your life.
Yeah,
because that happens all the time. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But again, it's really well done. Written by Nick Spencer, the art's by Steve McNiven.
And various others, I think, isn't there?
But I can recommend it enough. It's great. It's really good fun to read.
To me, you've got it's so clever because you've got, to me, what is a bigger narrative construct than the Marvel Universe? What is a coordinated, interlocking universe than what we get from Marvel and DC? There's very little in fiction out there, is there? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say, I don't know, Coronation Street's been running 50 years, but it's nowhere near as interlocking, and there's not so many personalities and characters and styles and genres and stories that you get in the Marvel Universe. Mm. And what they've done here is they've tied all the strings up together, and they've pulled it all into one very gorgeous-looking and well-told story.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be about. Don't read your own ideas into a book. Follow it. It's a story. Mm. Follow it. It's a narrative. See what happens.
And also,
and everyone is spot on in it.
Yeah, you know? And there's been so much talk of when was the last really great crossover that Marvel have done.
Yeah,
you know, the last three or four have been duds, haven't they? Even if they've been overly, they've been massively hyped.
People
been
want
duds.
Stuff to fail, don't they, Vince? Yeah. I think people like things. Yeah.
So you know, this one sounds really good, but people just want to bring it down.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I've got to tell you, I'm loving it. It's an event for me that I'm enjoying, and you know, I enjoy a lot of them. Some of them, you go, oh, really? But it's more like the timings of issues for me. Mm. I think sometimes things take ages to come out, don't they? You know.
Yeah. I mean, there's like all the different the back, like you've got Secret Empire, May, June, and like what's happening in the various bits of the Marvel Universe, and it's like, oh Christ, I'm going to run out and find out these stories and find out how's Doctor Strange coping with the particular thing that's happened to him in his area, and all these different things, and it's like, this is such a great read. I really want to find out about this. It's like the old Marvel, want to find out about all the characters and what they're up to and what they're doing.
They're living and breathing in this, aren't they?
Yeah. It's like we said about the kind of Planet Hulk, you're kind of putting them in this situation they've not been in before and telling unique and fun stories, and that's what you read comics for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to need to get my hands on this.
Yeah, so, it'd make a great trade, mate. I'd hear it make a really nice trade.
Nice.
Cool.
So, Tony, what have you got?
Mine's a little bit of a key change from that. This is a book that I bought from Europe Comics. It's published by Delcor, but I bought it from Comixology now that I'm a digital man occasionally.
Ooh.
And it's called The Modern Man. It's script by Francois Bergadeau. It's art by Clément Oubrière, colours by Clément Oubrière and Philippe Bruno, and it's published by Delcor. As I said, it's $6.99 on Comixology. Here's a little bit of the blurb from the back. Thomas keeps trying his best to pick up women, but is always rejected. He doesn't understand feminism, and the women he does meet are quite direct and demanding. His techniques of picking up women in the street or waiting to go into the cinema are so out of date. Now, having walked the streets of France, Paris especially, which is where this is set, during the 80s, 90s and 2000s, with a number of different ladies, I think I'm going to say, please don't hate me for this, I'm going to say that Parisian men are a little bit forthcoming with their opinions verbally. You know, in London, you used to walk past a building site and a good-looking woman would get wolf-whistled. Doesn't really happen now, to be fair, but I certainly haven't witnessed it. I get wolf-whistled a lot. in Paris, Parisians are a little bit different. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to criticise a whole city, but I've certainly witnessed it. And Thomas is a good example of this. The first section of the book deals with just failure after hilarious failure. I mean, to call him the hero of this book would be just wrong completely. He's an absolutely cringing idiot, you know. But he wanders around in Paris constantly trying to engage with women in conversation. I've written down a few of his attempts. I mean, I thought these were quite good, but they don't appear to work. Can I have 100 euros? How's that going to work? I've just fallen in love with you. He walks up to a lady and says, I've just fallen in love with you. And she takes her headphones off. Yes, he pulls one of her headphones aside. You know, how annoying is that when someone comes up to you and goes, oh, excuse me, you know. And she says, well, why have you fallen in love with me? Is it because I look like this? And he went, and he sort of backpedals a bit and goes, oh no, there's some kind of sort of cosmic event that's happened. Well, I feel a connection to you, you know. He walks up to one woman. He says, what do you think of the Greek debt? That's in the queue to the cinema. She's working behind the counter. And he walks up to one and goes, I was a George Clooney lookalike, which he clearly wasn't. And he gets knocked back constantly throughout the issue. And he has these sort of theories. So he's sort of almost like trying out this sort of theory of technique that he's thought up. And at one point he says, I must read more Bruce Lee and this sort of thing. It's all about confidence. he gets knocked back in a bar. One of my favourite bits, he gets knocked back in a bar by this, he sits next to this lady at the bar and he's holding a book and he literally goes, have you read? And he's about to say, have you read this book? And he goes, have you read? And she interrupts him and goes, don't bother, I have my period. And he's like, oh. And then she gives him a book called CWM, which stands for Contemporary Western Male, and she sort of wanders off. He's just completely obsessed. But the thing about it is, he doesn't spot the actual opportunities. So he's got what is probably described of as a sort of sex-crazy woman who lives on his floor, and she keeps going about having sex with people who are her next-door neighbours, and he doesn't pick up on it. He wonders about obsessed. At one point, he sees someone who he describes as, in his sort of inner monologue, as a goth chick, and he says, I can't go out with her. She might have bats in her bra. And then he finally arranges an online date, because it's literally just a complete sort of non-stop obsession with him. And he arranges an online date with a girl and stands at a metro station. He's approached by this woman who, to be fair to him, doesn't really look like her profile picture. And he literally sort of runs off. the more you read into it, the more you realise what a complete and utter arsehole Thomas is. And sex is the only thing on his mind, just constantly. At one point, he decides he doesn't like fat girls, and he ruminates on this for a while. And then he wonders, does this make him a fat girl Nazi? The art is his face is drawn. I know you talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Dan, Vince, where you mentioned just dots for eyes and a line for mouth. His face is drawn like that, but the women are fully realised, which I think is part of the narrative. If you see what I'm saying,
yeah,
it's sort of cliche.
I see how that narrative works into it.
Yeah. Cliche sort of caricature, and the ladies are, the women in it are very realistically drawn. I can see where he has probably copied them from people, you know, definitely in the street.
So they're sort of like they're real people, they're complete people, whereas this guy is a caricature of a human.
Yeah, sort of caricature, numbskull kind of character.
That's a nice idea. I like that.
Yeah, he goes on a march, a feminist march. At one point, is the picture I put up on Twitter, and the sign he's carrying says, a woman gives him a sign to carry. He sort of goes up, starts trying to chat women up, and a woman gives him a sign. It just says, "Just here to pick up chicks, and I'm not even sorry." Says his sort of poster, which I thought was quite funny. And the woman who's standing next to him has a sign that says, "I hate fake feminists." Have you read Catcher in the Rye, you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, you know the bits where he keeps going about, I thought I might take her for a dinner. He's sort of obsessed with taking him for a drink or a different thing. And it's a little bit, there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of that throughout it. He's a sort of this sort of lonely character who wanders through the story. A girl comes over and wants to watch porn with him, and he's intimidated by her because she wants to watch porn with him, and he leaves, or I think he throws her out. And it's just all these little opportunities that he's actually missing because he's so obsessed with his sort of technique and stuff. I couldn't find much done by these creators elsewhere in English language, but it is absolutely brilliant. It had me laughing. It goes somewhere in the last act. So if you think of it as a three act structure, the last act, it goes somewhere, and I thought, oh, I wasn't expecting that. And it ends on a moment which is just sort of just changes your eye towards the character, really. It goes a little bit trippy is the wrong word, but it goes a little bit imaginative in its conclusion, and representative of how he's feeling at the end, and you'll see what you'll see if you read it, which I hope you do. He's done a couple of other books. The artist has done a couple of other books which are English, which is Isadora and Pablo, a book on Picasso, which absolutely looks absolutely gorgeous. But go to Comixology, it's well worth $6.99. Really good stuff.
Europe Comics are putting out some stellar stuff at the moment.
Oh, mate, we were talking about this earlier. Just coincidentally, you've chosen, just quite complete coincidence, but on their list, you've chosen two of the books off there as well recently, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, it's gorgeous stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so can't recommend them enough, because there's probably going to be a few more I'm going to talk about in the coming weeks. So there you go.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. So my recommendation. Now, there are other comics that have dared to use this name.
Oh.
But none can compare to its might. It's a webcomic known as Vanguard.
Hey, look at you.
And I love it. Now, be quiet, Dan.
That caught me a bit unawares.
Yeah, me, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's long overdue. Now, there's 13 issues. Am I right in thinking that, Dan? There's 13 issues?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah. For those out there who haven't read it, surely all our listeners have read it, but for those who haven't, 13 issues of a dark superhero story that's a great play on that genre. Now, having known Dan for a bit now, I can see the influences that flow through his creative brain, but never once have I thought that the book is anything other than original. I have to say that. And I was a fan before I even started this show or knew Dan.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So the character designs are absolutely bang on. Certainly, you're testing yourself at the moment, aren't you, Dan, with some of the characters you've got coming up?
Yes.
So I sort of... You have my sympathies for some of the character designs, because you like to test yourself, and I think that only makes the story better. But certainly just the character design in their personalities as well, which leads to some heart-wrenching moments, which we've mentioned now and then throughout the show, that this book will put you through the ringer. But it will also have laugh-out-loud satire. The latest page includes a fake meat product called Neat, which I laughed at. The latest page of the book, which is essentially just to talk about donuts and eating, isn't it? I was laughing. I love you balance those moments of, you know, full on quite dark story and quite dark character stuff, and you do have the moments of levity. Normally that can come out via the villains, I've noticed.
Yeah.
I've absolutely no idea how you do this comic. I know we're talking about time management, but you do this as well as other comic pages and a full-time job and a wife and a child. I can only surmise...
And a podcast.
Yeah. So I can only surmise that he's a terrible husband and parent.
I think that'd be the case if I didn't do the comic.
Yeah. No, seriously though. Even before the show existed, before I knew either of these two properly, I was reading the book. It was one of the few webcomics I got into, and I actually read regularly. I have to now that I know Dan, but it's a joy. only now.
Oh, cheers, Vince.
That's all right. Only now do I know what a horrible mess of a human being Daniel Butcher is. Yeah. But they do say never meet your heroes, do they?
Yeah.
So you can find it at vanguardcomic.com. And Tony.
Yes.
If you feel left out, I love you too.
Thank you. Good. I'm
like
glad.
The sun loves the moon. Like the day loves the night. Like cannon loves ball.
I feel better because I did mention Red Mask earlier, so I feel yeah. validated.
Yeah, no. But I will say that the reviews and blogs that like you put out about comics, even though I know you, I'm constantly surprised at how thought-provoking and thoughtful they are.
Well, I said to tell you, like,
he
kind
just
of
pulled my trousers down there, Dan, didn't he? Just,
when you get I do like when I first sent out the Vanguard for book one for a review, as most people just copied the blurb I'd sent as a valuable lesson.
Right.
But Tony was one of only a few that did like a proper review. Comics Anonymous did it. I can't another one that springs to mind.
Yeah.
But when kind of like you're not getting paid for it, and you're kind of you're really reading up and very insightful reviews, and I think it's underappreciated.
Yeah,
thank you. That's the great pleasure I get, is people saying that I understood yeah. what they were getting for. That's the only thing I'm looking for these days.
Plus, when the time is yeah. needed, your stuff is as salty as a bag of chips, isn't it?
Yeah, you know. And I'm a right grumpy fucker.
Yeah, as we all know. If you read Down the Tubes, or if you read Never Iron Anything, is that .blogspot.co.uk?
That's very good. Yes, thank you, mate. Yeah.
Then I would actually say that you're reading a view of comics by one of the most knowledgeable comic bastards I know.
Thank you.
Yeah. They trust me, guys. Neither
emotional and a little bit aroused.
Listeners, neither of them knew that I was going to say this.
Yeah. No, we didn't. We.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. How long did we talk before we came on air? About 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Tony even asked me. He never does this every week, but this is the first week he said, "What are you recommending this week, then, Vince?"
Oh, I did, didn't I? Yeah.
And I skirted over it. So VanguardComic.com. And neverironanything.blogspot.co.uk.
Oh, cheers.
Thank you, mate.
There you go.
Cheers.
Check out both of them.
I've slowed down a bit on Down the Tubes for the last couple of weeks because I'm writing something, and I've also given some... I've helped a couple of creators, which I can't talk about, but absolutely over the moon that they've trusted me to send me their product sort of thing, just to go through it and have a think and have a sort of bit of a chat with them about it. So there's been a bit of that recently. So I've written about 10,000 words this week, but none of it has made it to Down the Tube. So yeah, there is stuff coming, so don't stop sending me. I'd love to see your book.
We'd like to thank the listeners as well.
Yeah
We're literally nothing without you listening to the show. And
the fact that someone actually even just tweets about it, it absolutely put I'm a grumpy fucker, but I'm absolutely over the moon that people like stuff. And I'm glad that we put people together creatively. I was just chatting to Matt Strott about it earlier, and so you're saying, I'm really pleased that you're working with John. John's a good egg. And Matt's stuff is just ideal for that story, and he's also a good bloke. And it's that sort of thing where we hear about, I'm working with such and such because I heard his interview, we got mentioned on the show, or we both sort of tweeted together or something like that. I'm really pleased with that, you know.
Thank you, Matt, for the lovely message as well. I know you couldn't send a voicemail because you don't like your voice, apparently. But thank you very, very much for the message. Yeah. It was lovely.
Brilliant.
Yeah. 100. Cool. Unbelievable. I'll tell you what is cool, Dan. That's if people want to let us know about any comics they want us to review. There's several different ways that people can get in touch with us. I had to work hard for that segue, but it has been 100 fucking weeks. Yes, if you've got any books and events, etc., there's several different ways you can get in touch with us. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. The tony.awesomecomicspod email is also where you can send your independent characters for the Awesome Comics Jam piece.
That's looking great.
Yeah, we've got loads this week, didn't we?
Yeah. Thank you very much to all the people who've been sending in. People, there's plenty of time. Don't worry. And even though it's filling up, there's still plenty of space. I still haven't added my character, so I need to pull my finger out.
Just rejig the design.
Yeah.
I knew it'd be the case once we got the first one out to show like what we're working on.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And it does look awesome. Yeah. It does look really, really good. So thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for following us on Twitter. And if you haven't yet, follow us at The Awesome Pod. We've got a guest back next week, so there'll probably be a poll or two.
We're quite excited by next week's guest, but it's a bit of a big deal for us.
It'll be a bit of a fun show as well.
We've got a bit of a format change, just for one week.
Yeah.
Don't worry, just for one week of fun. Yeah.
Do we have a format?
Nah, fuck that.
Yeah. We do have a Facebook page, though. And you can and you can go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast and join the best Facebook group that exists.
Yep.
Awesome Comics Talk, which is just people talking comics and love.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And we, I just like to read it now and then. That's all. So keep up the good work, people. It's amazing. Thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher or Podnos, wherever you found us, if there's a chance to leave us a review, leave us a cheeky review.
Yeah.
Because, we need more. No. we just like them. And we like, if whoever gets the word out about this show, we love you. So there you go. And I will, honestly, before we sign off, I will genuinely... Dan and Tony, thank you for joining me. I can't believe we've made it to 100. That's 100. I mean, never mind the number. That's 100 consecutive weeks of doing this.
Yeah, I know. It's good, isn't it?
I know.
Dude, me and Dan have missed the odd episode here and there, but you've been here every episode, and you've edited every episode, and you've had to listen back to my voice. Which must be
fucking awesome. Yeah.
Every week after week. Yeah. And you don't realise if you're listening to this, the occasional thing that happens that Vince gets a headache from editing it, and you know, to put it out so quickly, mate, fucking spot on. Yeah.
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
And you get to this American bit where you start crying and cuddling each
other.
You know, I'm an old softy really at heart. And mate, it's fucking the work you put into this, spot on, mate. Yeah. Fucking brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. I was gonna try and get them emotional.
And aroused.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Well, I'm aroused every week. You wait until we start the YouTube channel.
That's not a real thing. I'll be right.
No, and that will never happen. We're going to be audio. That's all it's ever going to be, because I'm not getting into that shit.
Definitely Faces for Radio.
As anyone that has met us will know. No. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you to everyone for making the first 100 absolutely amazing. And here's to the next 100. That's all I say.
Yeah.
And where can people find us online, etc.? Tony.
Twitter Ezohyz, and I think I'll pimp LCAF. If you come to LCAF or you come to Lancaster, come and say hello to me. If you've got any new books dropping, love to see them. I think there's quite a few people. I think Gareth Hopkins, Ken Reynolds, and the Mighty McCune, Stuart McCune, are all going to be at LCAF. So I'm looking forward to hanging with those guys. But if you have got a new book out, I've got a press pass, so. It's beholding upon me to review it, so come and see me.
That's nice. Nice. What about you, Dan?
I'm on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com. You did well at that last week, Vince.
Oh, yes. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a mouthful.
It is, as always. Oh, God, no. We're going to make it to the end. You can follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmassfrommars.com. So there you go, 100 in the
Brilliant.
Bag.
Yeah.
And done, we're guys. Far from yeah. finished.
We've got loads still... more to come.
Yeah.
This was a warm-up.
Yeah, I do not have a flying fuck of a clue how we made it to this number, but we're far from finished making a mess of the small press world. So I
like the fact it started off as something where you said, oh, let's talk about comics and making comics, and it just became this fucking festival of just swearing and shouting at each other. I think I've come to love.
Yes. Yeah. When we need to vent or just, you know, because sometimes we do have a hard week, depending on our jobs, etc. And it's just nice to, when we record this, just to let off some steam.
And it's not a day goes by where we don't talk about the comics we're reading, which I love as well. Do you know what I mean? That's on the webby Facebook or a WhatsApp group or on Twitter. Yeah, it's great. Great little community. Well
when
done,
everyone. The comics we're making start coming to fruition, we start sharing that a bit more with people. That'd be interesting.
So,
we'll be able to do the Kickstarter thing firsthand.
Yeah, I'm going to give my last shout out to my cat Bobby, who's been sat here through the whole time while I've been recording this, absolutely asleep. So he's obviously a listener.
Love the listeners. Yeah,
hello, sisters.
Yes, thank you for listening, folks. Have a brilliant week. Read loads of indie comics. Just have fun. Stay safe, and as always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
We're the best. Hello.
Hello.
Are you putting your trousers on?
Hang on. Yeah, I'm all right now.
Oh. did I catch you mid-stroke?
Oh, it only ever takes one.
Just one good one.
It's just right, a really strenuous one. Yeah. It's like people who run the 100 metres. I just put it into one good one.
Is your nickname Hearty Tug?